Welcome to the Resentment-Free Relationships Podcast. I'm Becky Smith, your certified life coach, here to help you go from exhausted and resentful to feeling connected and confident in your relationships. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello and welcome to the podcast. This week, I'm sharing a conversation I had with a fellow life coach and friend, Kristen Rutter. This conversation was about a conference we attended called Faith Matters. Our conversation went a little long, so I've split it into two podcasts, this week and next week. So without further ado, I have a special guest. Her name is Kristen Rutter. And me and Kristen, our story is a little unique in that back in 2018, I was at Jody Moore's Be Bold Masters, and we were sitting in the same small group together. And I kept thinking, I know this lady, I know her, but I don't know how I know her. I realized that you were my landlord back when I was a newlywed in college in Provo. Like almost 30 years ago now, a long time ago. And it was so funny. I recognized your name because I used to write checks to you. That's what it was.
That makes sense.
That's what it was. Yes. So anyway, we made that connection. And then we've just had some other touch points along the way. We both became coaches through the Life Coach School and also through Creation Coach, Brooke Snow's coach certification. We're also yoga teachers. So we just have a lot in common. And then recently I was at a conference called Faith Matters, which is not a coaching conference. It's about faith. And I got home and I posted some on Instagram. And then Kristen messaged me and said, I was at the same conference. So we just like to intertwine our lives. So I just thought it would be great, a great way to talk about the conference and what each of us learned, takeaways we had, and just share that experience. And Kristen, do you want to tell my audience just a little bit more about yourself, even what you do as a coach, just anything you want to share?
You did a great job at introducing me, so thank you. And that was such a fun connection to make back to the good old days.
Yeah.
Back in Provo. Yes. So I coach women on their relationship with themselves, others, and God. And I love to bring embodiment into it using a little bit of breath work, meditation, when it feels appropriate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say all of my sessions have that, but sometimes it does because it can be so helpful. Mm-hmm. And I have just loved having something that I can share with other people that has enriched my life so much. And yeah, I am a wife and mother and a grandmother to five adorable little kids. And so that's my greatest joy. And then coaching is my second. So
yeah, that's awesome. All right. So Kristen, let's just talk about what drew us to Faith Matters, to the conference, to the podcast, whatever you want to say about that.
Yeah, I loved what I felt at that Faith Matters conference. I came away with feeling this open heart and open mind for all stages of faith. I think what drew me to the podcast originally is I often end up coaching people on their faith, and they have some amazing speakers on there that it just helps me to have the vocabulary and words and understanding to be able to address that from a place of neutrality and being able to help people. The other thing I often coach on is when people in your life are going through a faith transition, mm-hmm. and you are trying to figure out how to manage that, whether it's a spouse or a child or even a friend or sister or whatever.
Yeah.
So Faith Matters just to me opens up the door and helps us to open up our mind mm-hmm. to a little bit broader perspective of what the gospel of Jesus Christ can look like. And I love that. And I love that they keep it within the framework of the gospel, but it's still open. And I love that. How about you? What brought you to the Faith Matters Conference?
Wanting to be around people, I say like-minded, but we're all super different too, right? But just all I can say is I want to be around my people with all the openness, like you were saying, the different stages of faith, and just within my own faith community, that there can be diversity within that, and that I can be safe within that. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I really love the focus on, I don't know if they say this specifically, but this is what it has felt like to me, is like giving me permission to find my authentic spirituality. Like, what works for me? What helps me to feel connected to heavenly parents and to Jesus Christ? That to me has made it so that my spirituality is mine. And I have that authority over it, but I love to keep it within the framework of the gospel.
Yes.
I love the gospel.
Yeah.
And I love to be able to put it through what feels right for me. Yeah. And I love the kind of that diversity, like the analogy that we, that are all a part of the body of Christ. Right? We don't all need to be a big toe. We don't all need to be an elbow. We don't all need to be the nose or the mouth.
Yeah.
Everybody has that part to play. And I believe that's how it, can we embrace all of that? That's what I love.
Yeah. Which makes me think of when Aubrey Chavez, she's one of, if people aren't familiar, she's one of the hosts of the Faith Matters podcast. And she was interviewing Jody Moore. And she talked about that they asked the audience what were their top three fears. And one of the first one was that they feel like if people knew how they really felt or what they were thinking, that they wouldn't belong or that they don't belong. And I have to say that I had that same thought. And so it was really comforting to hear that and to know that was okay. And just all of what you were just saying.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think my other, like one of the things that I also took away that didn't come from a specific speaker at the conference, but just this overall feeling, is that I want my family to be a family where you belong regardless of your faith. If it's, we're talking about having a church that is more encompassing of every stage of faith, I make sure that my family is encompassing of whatever stage of faith or even non-faith that my children might have.
Yeah.
And that how becomes, do we do that? You know?
Yeah, it becomes really important the older I get, the older my children get, right? My oldest decided not to be in the church started at 16, but really wasn't official until he left the house. And he's 25 now. And just navigating that is really like what propelled me to find things like Faith Matters and what makes me think that maybe I think a little different than other people. That was my beginning of my faith transition, was that right there. And I don't know if this faith transition, expansion, crisis, whatever you want to call it, I don't know if it really ever ends.
I don't think it does, because I think we're always on the edge of growth.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. On the edge of growth.
Yeah. And it's going to push us to that place that feels a little bit uncomfortable oftentimes, right?
Yeah.
I just had an experience this last weekend where I ended up being, our family was together for fall break on a Sunday, and my husband and I went to sacrament meeting and my kids didn't come. And I was actually totally fine with that. Like, I didn't feel like there had any judgment over that or anything. But later, as I was reflecting on it, I realized that I did feel some sadness. And that's okay to feel sad. And I was like, what do I feel sad about? And I realized maybe it's just this having this commonality of being able to speak within the terms of the gospel about things.
Yeah, because it's its own language.
It is kind of, yeah. And so just a little bit like another layer of grieving or another layer of recognizing that there's some grief, or, and it's not like super sad to me, but it's almost just accepting what is. And kind of feeling that accept what is, And then my question for myself was, would I rather have all of my kids in church and have them feel angst, have them feel like they are being forced to be there, that they like have to be there to be part of our family, that my love is conditional on if they came to church? And I don't mean to like bag on my kids. We were on vacation and some of them just didn't bring clothes. There's all different reasons why
yeah.
I didn't come. But it was an experience for me to look inward and realize like God allows us to choose. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be the kind of parent that allows my children to choose.
Yeah.
And I don't need to make it about me.
Mm. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. Is it? Whenever I'm having a hard time, it's always because I'm making it about me, that I put some judgment on me, and I just go back to, this is his journey. How do I know? And I've learned so much. And you know what? I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it for anything, because my faith has grown so much because seeing it through his eyes and his perspective and looking at it through a different lens, and which is, again, why I liked the conference. Lots of different views, lots of different, they had music and they had poetry and they had meditation and they had even video presentation. They had interviews and then they had just regular presentations. I just thought it was really good.
I loved it. And I loved that multi-touch, multi-ways to learn and fill the spirit through the different things. I loved that part.
Yeah. So did you have any speakers that stood out to you or anything that you want to talk about in particular?
Yes, I loved Adam Miller. And I almost feel bad trying to summarize how he spoke because he had his scripted out and it was so beautifully said.
Oh, yeah. But I wasn't there. I didn't see.
Okay.
So
I will just try to summarize.
Okay.
Because the key point, and this was so poignant to me that I loved it. And he talked about the prodigal son parable. And I think it's Elder Holland that says it's actually about two sons.
Yeah.
And so you have Adam Miller, who just put a new take on it for me that I had never thought of. And I feel like this is so beautiful. So he talks about how the prodigal son that had left and was returning home felt like he didn't deserve to go back to his father's home, that he hadn't earned it. And he was just asking to be a servant. He didn't think he deserved to be back in the household.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the other son who thought that he did deserve it, that he did all the things that were right, and he did deserve to have the father's love.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Miller just pointed out that both sons had the same thing in common, which is that they thought they could earn their father's love.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of it is that the father's love was always there for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-transactional. He is love.
Mm.
We can't earn our way to God's love.
Yeah. And that rings true for Adam, like the original grace, what is needed instead of what is deserved. And yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was one that I really liked. And he also used this analogy of a telescope.
Okay.
And he said that if we are looking at something through a telescope, maybe we're looking at a relationship with God through a telescope and he looks really far away,
mm-hmm.
maybe we are using the wrong end of the telescope. Because if you look through the wrong end of the telescope, things look further away. And if you flip it around, it will bring him closer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that little test to see, is what I'm thinking, does it feel like love? Does it feel like love from a God who is love? And if it doesn't, if it feels like it's creating space between us, I might just have the telescope flipped the wrong way. And then what would I need to think or feel to draw closer to him?
Mm.
And so I loved that. I'm visual, so I loved that analogy.
Yeah, no, I like that. And then I like that you tie in the coaching, right? What would I need to think and feel to feel the love? Because it is so easy to flip it around and try to do the things that earn the love or to have other people love us instead of we're already loved and we just need to love others. Yeah. And ourselves.
Yeah. And another thing that he talked about was when we feel guilt and shame in a relationship to God, that is a red flag that we are thinking in a transactional terms.
Mm-hmm. Guilt and shame are transactional.
Yeah. Okay. It just gives us that heads up, like, oh, I wonder what I might be thinking that's not true.
Okay. I like that.
Another one that I loved was Thomas McConkie.
I missed his too.
I know. I'm just going to tell you all these good things that you missed, good. Right?
So this is why I wanted to talk to you. But because I was just there for one day, but we do get the recording. So I am going to go back when I get that and watch it. But that's why I wanted you on, because I wanted to hear. So tell me all about it.
I think Thomas McConkie is one of the most fascinating people. He has a really complex story, which is so cool. I think that's one of the reasons I was drawn to yoga, because of the philosophy, because I realized, like, oh, this is talking about spirituality, but it's with different terms, and it's making my connection to my spirit and to spirit just much richer and deeper because of the way it was being talked about. And so if you don't know much about Thomas McConkie, he is a McConkie. And I believe his grandfather is Elder Worthlin.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, Thomas left the church, I believe, when he was about 16,
mm-hmm.
and returned later in life, like decade plus later, and is this amazing. He has an amazing ability to bring Eastern and Western philosophy together.
Yeah.
And I, of course, being the yogis that we are, we love cards, right?
Yeah.
So he told this story about going to, his family had moved to Boston, and he was driving the dog across the country with the car. And his mom mentioned, you should stop at Winter Quarters because you have ancestors. You'll be driving by there and you have ancestors that are buried there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he stopped there, and he's a very intuitive person.
Mm-hmm.
He said as he got out and started walking, he just felt from this message from his ancestors, mm-hmm. about how important our bodies are.
Mm-hmm.
And that he felt that his ancestors missed their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, that's such a fascinating thing to think about.
Yeah.
Like they miss their bodies because we learn by experience in our bodies, I think, more quickly, because we're embodied. We feel things. Think of your feelings. We know as coaches that we feel feelings in our bodies.
Yeah.
We have a physical sensation when we feel a feeling.
Right.
I just never thought, oh, when we don't have that body, we miss out on part of feeling those feelings.
Yeah.
And that, for as many things that we complain about our bodies,
right?
Right? There's also the things like, but doesn't it feel good to be alive? Doesn't it feel good to have that cold drink of water when you're really hot?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel good to feel the warm water of a shower, which those poor pioneers never got to feel, probably. But we get to feel that, right?
Yeah.
And just this bringing this mindfulness to our bodies and feeling appreciation for it. I was like thinking, even like things like when we eat, like that sensation of eating, that's feeling alive.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling alive is part of being like feeling joy, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
When you hug someone, there is a physical connection that we don't get when we don't have a body.
Yeah.
So I loved that idea of realizing that there will be a temporary time that we will not have our body after we have passed on, and that they are really looking forward to resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. It's not something I've pondered on that much. That's interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. makes you appreciate it a little more here and now. As we're getting older and you say, we're finding all the things wrong with our bodies. And yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And recognizing that it's just part of mortality, like that acceptance of what is.
It's always back to that too, right?
I don't know. It just comes back to it, right?
Yeah.
Another one. Did you see Stephen Sharp Nelson from the Piano Guys?
Oh, I did see him. I did see him. He was Friday. Yeah, okay. He was good, but I took notes in the dark writing instead of on my phone. So I don't have those in front of me. So remind me, what were some of the takeaways?
I just loved, he told the story about them getting a new dishwasher.
Oh, yes.
And he came from a long line of dishwasher, like you wash the dishes before you put them in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
You always pretty much wash the dishes and put them in there and then get them out. So there's an extra step.
Yeah.
And it's just a habit that their family is in, that they just wash the dishes. And then they got this new dishwasher and it wasn't working and it wasn't cleaning the dishes that well. And so they called customer support and they said, tell us what you do. And he's like, I rinse it off and then I put it in there. And they're like, oh, that's the problem. Is you're trying to clean it before you put it in. And so this specific model of dishwasher has a sensor on it. So when the dishes are dirty, it knows to clean, but you're putting clean, like they think that they're clean dishes, but then you're putting them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And his point was that maybe the atonement doesn't work for us because we're trying too hard to appear clean before we bring it to the Savior.
Yeah. Yeah,
I remember. I loved that. I guess I'm just such a visual person.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, how often do I think I need to clean this up the best I can before I bring it to the Savior? Or I need to do all that I can do before I bring this to the Savior.
Or that earning the love thing, right? Back to the other one.
Or I'm not worthy to even bring this up.
Yeah. 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 No, I really liked that one.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that and stay tuned for next week for the rest. And bye for now. Hey, did you know that I offer Marco Polo coaching? That's right, it's coaching on your time. You don't have to set aside an hour a week to talk to me, but you can do it in little bits of time that you have throughout your day. It is a really affordable way to get one-on-one coaching with me in your time. So send me a DM, send me an email, and let's get started today.